We're in a series here about merge, called Merge, and it's about letting Jesus intersect our everyday lives. And what's all that about? Well, there's this thing called evangelism, and typically for believers, evangelism scares them, scares me, scares us. Unless you're like a salesperson who just loves to get involved with strangers and, give them to me, I want them, right? And if you're an introvert or something like that, that's like, what? What do you want me to do? And so we have this one little picture of what evangelism looks like. And as a result, when we hear about it, we freak out and we go, I'll pray. You know, we do that sort of thing. But I really believe that when you read the Gospels and you read how Jesus walked it out, he just lived his life in his everyday life. And as he did, the kingdom, he looked for opportunities. Now, that's being present, being aware. But he looked for opportunities and he found them and he just sowed seeds is what he did. He went around. When he saw an opportunity, he took advantage. But he was himself. He was himself. And so we're spending 4 weeks on that. This is part two. And so here's what I'm going to do. I need just four helpers. And you're going to wonder, what are you doing? I need four helpers. There's four little bowls. I just need to pass them out. I want everybody to take one elastic band. And if you shoot them, you will have to come and speak to the vice principal, which is Kim. So, if it was me, easy. If it was Chris, easy. But not Kim. Not Kim. Okay, I want you to just take an elastic band. And as you're taking that, take a look at some questions here and just ponder these questions to yourself. Don't ponder the questions. Ponder what your answer is. You don't have to share it. Don't share it. Just keep it to yourself. Okay, so I want you to take your elastic and I just want you to put it in your hand and hold it. And I'm going to read to you from Mark chapter 4 because we're going through the Gospel of Mark in this series. Mark is a nice, succinct gospel. Mark gets right to the point. Unlike some of the other gospel writers, which are a little more detailed. And here's Mark 4, starting at verse 3. And if you have your Bibles, you can read them if you can do that and hold your elastic in your hand. This is what Mark records, Jesus' words. And by the way, this is a parable I'm going to read. And two things to remember about a parable. Number one, it has only one point it wants to make, just one. And while you can take different things from it, there is one point that Jesus was trying to make when he, or any rabbi said a parable, they were trying to make one point. Two, parables are about maturing, growing as a follower, growing as a person, right? That's why you'll hear at the end of a parable, he or she who has ears, listen and understand, which means, hear what I'm saying, and apply it. Fairly serious. Like, parables are fairly heavy-duty stuff. Brilliant that they can come up with parables. I don't know if Jesus spent time thinking about all of these and writing them down or what, but this is what he writes. Mark 4, verse 3. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed, and as he scattered across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. And other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plant, so they produced no grain. And still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. The story is about a farmer who has 25% success rate. 25%, right? Because you look at some, it says some seed fell on a well-worn path. fail, right? Didn't grow. Some seed, it says, fell on shallow soil, fail. Some seed fell among thorns, again, fail. Not doing very good. And then finally, some seed fell on fertile soil, and we have a wind. It comes back. Interesting story here. Now, if you go further on down in Mark, starting, I think it's at verse 14, Jesus explains it to them. He needs to explain it to them so they understand, so they don't just go away thinking this is about some farmer who doesn't have a very good success rate. And down there it explains what all this is. It explains that the field or the ground, it's about people that are receiving the seed, which is the good news or God's word that's going out, right? And then there's the farmer. And the whole thing is about this farmer. Now, understanding, farming then isn't like today. Today we prepare the soil and you seed right in that good soil that's been prepared, that's been whatever farmers do to prepare. I don't know, so I don't want to say, because then you can look silly with a farmer. But whatever farmers did. But then what farmers did is they would go out, scatter the seed, and then plow it under. That's how they would do it. I know it seems a little bit backwards, but that's what they did, and it worked for them. And so that's what's going on here. And Jesus is just speaking, like, Jesus wouldn't have known there would be, you know, tractors and that, and we'd be, he wouldn't tell a story because that wouldn't have made any sense to them then. So he told a story that made sense. That made sense to him, that made sense to people that were listening. What I want you to take away from it today is that the field or ground that Jesus is talking about are those people that you interact with every day of your life. Think who you interact with. Like every person. Yes, your family. Yes, your coworkers. Maybe your neighbors. Maybe person at the store. But so many self-serve things now. Now we pump our own gas. Now we can check your own groceries out. You can almost do everything yourself, all by yourself. Hardly interact with people. But we still do interact with people from day to day. That's your field. We have the seed, God's word. Now, we think scattering seed, maybe you don't, but I do. The immediate image I get about scattering seed is going out, and we see it in some of the Jesus movies. You know, they go out and they're preaching the gospel as they walk. I don't think that's all that is intended by what Jesus is saying, because the word can get spoken. Yes, we can share, but your actions speak louder than words, right? People watch you. They pay attention. There's jokes made about followers of Jesus that say one thing over here and do something else over here. The funniest one I heard, now I think, I don't know if you don't know if these are jokes or if they actually happened, but they used to have bumper stickers, honk if you love Jesus, and some guy had this on his car anyway. There was somebody up ahead who was, okay, let me get this right. I'm going to mess it all up, right? Anyway, there was honking. They were honking. And the guy, the Christian, got out of his car. Oh, yeah, the person behind him, because he wasn't moving, got out of his car. What's your problem? What the hell is your problem? No problem. It's just honk. You got a bumper sticker that says honk if you love Jesus. Sorry. It's a little embarrassing. But your actions do speak louder than words. One of the funniest ones, which is a true story, because I heard the pastor talk about this. We had a guest speaker at one of our regional meetings. This goes way back when I first came on staff. And he was from the States. And he said he just had an embarrassing moment. He was having a bad day going down the expressway. He was from the West Coast in the States, and some guy cut him off, or what he thought was cut off, and he raced up beside him and flipped him the finger, and it was a board member of his church. He said that was so embarrassing, but it's true. People watch you. They watch how you live. Say one thing over here, but do something else over here. So scattering seed can come by your actions, how you treat people, right? How you treat people says a lot. Best if lived. And the farmer I want you to think of as you. You're the farmer. You're the farmer. Okay, so let's move into here. Now, that helps. Can you still hear me? If you can't, just say, Scott, get in front of the mic. Okay, so I want you to take your elastic, put it in your hand. Now, your hand represents you. That's you. Your hand is you. And see that elastic? The space within that elastic is your comfort zone. You're in your relaxed state. The space outside your elastic, I'm hoping this works because I didn't test it, is your undiscovered potential. Okay? So, what you want to do here, in order to tape that elastic in around your fingers like that, put it back on the palm of your hand and spread it out to stretch your comfort zone. Stretch within your zone for that undiscovered area. Because what we're called to do is to be ourselves. Because see, when farmers sow, they do it their way. They have their own personal way they sow seed. So they go and do it. But you want to scatter everywhere. And you can use any way, whatever fits for you. Now, I asked some questions. I had some questions up there on the previous screen. What did I have there? That doesn't work. There we go. Right? Because we're all different, right? We're all different. Just like you, we all have different elastics and different things that we can all do. Some things are comfortable, some things are not. So too, we don't want to, because you hear this thing, get out of your comfort zone. Well, I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. It's comfort zone for a reason, because it's comfortable. What are you asking me? Well, there's part of us that needs within our comfort zone to stretch those gifts, stretch that potential that's in you. Seriously. The reason we have initiatives where you can go out and do food giveaways or things like that, it's not that you would do that every day all the time. Those things are for you to experience this. And then you take yourself, who you are, you take your everyday interactions with people, and you look for opportunities to do it your way. You get what I, are you tracking with me here? Please nod or shake your head. Okay. Okay. It's just scary for someone who's talking, and you ask, are you tracking with me? And people will just... Don't know if, maybe not. I'm glad you are. At least you're being nice. So that's a good thing. Okay. So my thing here is, we hear of evangelism, of reaching out, and it freaks a lot of us out to go and do that. When I one of my courses in my degree I had to do was evangelism, and I overheard somebody who was one of those people who, you know, they're the high-end extrovert, loves strangers, love to get out, go, oh, I think this is the course where we have to go and preach on the street corner. And in my head, it's just, that's not going to happen. Right? That won't happen. And it didn't. It was like, really? But it's stretch. Stay within your comfort zone, but stretch that comfort zone. Stretch what that looks like for you. Really? I shouldn't be like... Here's an example. A year ago, we had who here as a guest speaker? Robbie Dawkins, right? Yeah, woohoo, see, woohoo. We put Robbie up here. There you go. In a way, we don't mean to do this. We do it, though. We shouldn't. You should be like Robbie. That's what you should be like. Because look at Robbie. He can do it. You should do it. And what we're saying is, see the model Robbie uses? Follow the model. Do the model. And it's like, well, that doesn't fit me. I guess I should do it. Here's what it's like. Let me bring it home more, a little more realistically. I work out in that. One of my things every week I do is stretches. I do stretches because if I don't stretch, as you get older, you don't stretch as easy. You know, old elastic bands, you stretch and they don't come back. Right? Sort of what it starts to become like. Stretch, it doesn't come back, right? It's just, uh-oh. And the discouraging thing is, if you're not a Gumby type person where you can stretch, the thing is, it can be discouraging if you're with other people that can. That's discouraging. If you've ever done yoga, tried a yoga class or something like that, it can be discouraging, right? Because people can do things with their body that you didn't know you could do. Right? And so, but I do all my stuff on DVDs and that. And a couple of the gals on the stretching DVD, there's this one pose called the hero pose, which is on your knees, spread a little further than your hips, and then you sit back. Kids do it. You'll see kids do it, right? They sit back, legs splayed, right? And they sit back right on the ground, right? Right? Kids do that. Well, this is sort of like that, except on the DVD, they want you to lean back as far as you can. So I can lean back just to get my hands back there resting, right? But they have a couple gals on that DVD who just, boom, they lay back. They lay back, like their head on the floor. And it's like, what? If I did that, my legs would snap. Like, they would snap. I'd be done, right? And it's just like, what? And I remember I was in my living room, and our daughter-in-law Sarah was there, and my son Zach, and you, I think you were there. And I was explaining this to them, this one thing, right? And Sarah goes, oh, what do you mean, like this? And she gets down, and it's like, yeah. How do you do that? Like, that can be discouraging. You start comparing yourself. How come they can do it? And there's a temptation at that point to go, well, if I can't do that, forget it. I'm not going to bother. This is stupid. This is dumb. Can't do it. And because you start to compare, and comparison is a killer. Because right on the heels of comparison is defeat. You'll quit. You'll drop out. You'll pull out of there. Why? Because you're comparing yourself. And I think a lot of us saw Robbie up here. And he was the guy who could, you know, sit down, right down on his back. He couldn't do that. But you know what I mean? It was like, and a lot of us, I think, just said, I can't do that. I can't do what he does. But the question is, no, what can you do? Because what you can do is great, too. It's great as well, what you do and how you do it. And let me bring it right home again. My kids all have their own personalities and what they do and how they do things and their passions and their desires and how they walk things out. Do I want them to change? No. Behaviors? Maybe. But change as a person? No. What I want them to do is this. I want them to, if this is who they are, I want them to stretch that and to see their potential for who they are. That's what I want them to do. And here we have Jesus saying, scatter seed. And I believe God, you look at his creation and how wide and varied it is. Look at if you scuba dive or if you snorkeled, you know how beautiful and weird fish are down there and all that stuff. And the birds and how God made living creatures all different. Right? All different. Why wouldn't we have the endless possibility of how seed could be scattered, how the good news could be scattered, if we were told, go and do it in your comfort zone. stretched. You stretch. Now, the beauty of stretching is they tell you, good instructors will tell you, stretch, don't hurt yourself, right? Like, don't injure yourself, but stretch. And they'll tell you, everybody's different. Everybody is different. Work with what you got. Work with what you got. And there's a call there to do that. There's a call there to do that. And see, that way we can all do it. We can all reach our potential. We can all find out what our potential is by stretching just a bit. Just a bit. It's okay to do that. Okay, because you'll be surprised what you discover about yourself. Okay. So stretch who you are, look for opportunities, go for it. Now, my helpers. Now, if I could just get you to hand, take a dish. One seed per person. Don't eat. Don't eat. All I got to do is tell my family my dog licked it and they won't eat it. Or if you don't want them to eat something, you just lick it in front of them. And they won't touch it. This is all about scattering seeds. Now, Jesus said to go and scatter. And once you get your seed, what I want you to do is put your elastic band in back in your hand, put your seed in the middle of your the space of your where your elastic is. Okay? And it doesn't have to be perfect. Because there's another parable that Jesus told. Actually, he told a whole whack of them, and there's a whole whack we don't even have recorded. There's only certain ones. Well, yeah, you can. If you would like. No, the dog didn't lick. No. No. No, thank you. Okay, so just take the seed. Now, I want to read, still on Mark chapter 4, just go down to verse 30, and Jesus has another parable there. And this is what Mark records, starting at verse 30. Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it?" Sounds like he's scratching his head. "It is like a mustard seed." I know that's not a mustard seed. Work with me. "Planted in the ground, it is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade." What was Jesus trying to tell us there? I think the seeds of the good news are small. Small. But when scattered with a motive to love the person, they do powerful things. They are very impactful. Small seeds. But when scattered with a motive to love the person, does amazing things. Huge potential there. And it's seen. Now, is that really what Jesus means? Well, go to Matthew 25. Go down about, I think it's verse 14. And you'll come to another parable. And this is the one we've entitled the parable. Some versions have said the parable of the talents. Others call it the parable of the three servants. Whatever. It's a landowner who is going away, put three of his servants in charge of his money, right? Now listen to the story here. He gave one, five, one, two, and one, one. Go and plant. Right? So here's, you got a picture. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. Take what you have and go and stretch with that. First one stretched, got back double. Second one stretched, got back double. Third one didn't stretch out of fear and got scolded. There's a principle here about take what's given and stretch with it. Stretch it to see to its maximum potential here. There's this thing about, and he said, and so he's, and he, but then he says, listen to what he says to the first two servants who, in this parable in Matthew 25, what he says to the first two servants when the master returns and finds they've invested and stretched. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. Small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Be faithful in what God has given you, and you'll encounter so much more when you stretch. Remember, in that seed is all everything there to grow a pumpkin. Now, if you've seen any pumpkin competitions, it's probably a little juice that's added as well to it. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I don't know. Some Miracle-Gro, maybe Miracle-Gro. But everything there, there's everything in that seed for it to become a pumpkin. Jesus was using the mustard seed because it's even so much smaller, but it's everything, the potential is there to become a tree where birds can nest in, and it can shade, give shade to people. There's that potential with small things, and we think we got to do great things. And usually we applaud people like, you can name any what we term as great people who are doing great things, and we put that up way up there that we should attain, and we wonder why we never attain it, why we never experience the great things. It's because we're not just doing the little things. Just do the little things and let them grow into big things. Do that. Be faithful in those little things. There's a book called Come Be My Light. It's written by an author. It's a, like a biography on Mother Teresa. And in that book, this is what the author writes. She would again insist, the author was speaking of Mother Teresa, quote, don't look for big things. Just do small things with great love. The smaller the thing, the greater must be our love. End quote. And the author writes, she lived this principle in whatever she was doing throughout each day. Whether it was big or small mattered not to her. Everything she did was an opportunity to love. Mother Teresa didn't go out with the intent of creating some big organization. All she wanted to do was help the sick people and poor people in Calcutta. And she just did it one person at a time. Saw each person as Jesus, who was suffering, and that she could help. And she, how would she love Jesus? That's how she loved that person. But just one small thing. And other people then started to be attracted to her to join her in her work. And look what happened. Whoops. Look what happened, right? There's Sisters of Charity all over the place throughout the world. But she had no intention. She was just doing, planting seeds, scattering seeds, stretching her within, doing what she knew how to do, right? What she knew how to do. She was a nurse, right? She could care for people. She could love on people. She could do that. And that's what she did. Small things are seeds of the kingdom when you do it with love. Small things. all the potential to become great. And they are great things. You do something for someone out of love with the intention because yeah, you see them as Jesus. It's great. It's great. Plant seeds. Scatter. Okay? That's the beauty of when you allow Jesus to merge into your life. Right? Jesus is, God the Father is no different than any other good parent who wants their kids to do the best and be who they are. Why would God look at your personality, look at who you are and go, eh, not good enough. No, I want you to be like this. No, he wants you to be who you are. And he says, I'll work with you. That's that whole merging thing. He said, let me come into your life, whatever it is, your life, whatever you do, doesn't matter. Vocation doesn't matter. Let me work with that. Powerful. There is a challenge for you. Work within your comfort zone and just stretch that comfort zone a bit. Stretch it. Whatever that looks like, whatever it is you can do. Now, here's the beauty. Every time you see, you take the elastic, you take the seed, put it in your pocket so that hopefully you'll put your hand in there and you'll feel it today and you'll think about, got to stretch. Not too much though, you stretch too much, right? And you snap, break. And seeds, scatter seeds. Think, what would it look like for me to scatter seeds? What would that look like? What would it look like? Look for opportunities to demonstrate or to talk about God's love, the good news. Look for that. So every time, you know what? So every time you see elastic, when you get your mail and you take it out of the super box or whatever, and you see it bundled with an elastic, you're going to think, stretch. Yes, I need to stretch. Right? And every time, you know, you get pumpkin seeds or seeds or something like that, sunflower seeds or whatever, you're going, seeds. Have I scattered lately? And you'll scatter. And I want you to think about that. Because really, we, like Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. We can all do that. We can all do that if we just do it. Be who you are and stretch within that. Stretch that. So good. So good. So cool. Right? Right? Okay. Let's do that. Okay. I'm going to pray for you guys. Because what we want to pray for is opportunities to come vote this week. Now, does that scare you? Opportunities? But seriously, what could you do? What could you do? What could you do? Hi, Patrick. What? Oh, Deb talk? Okay. First, before Deb comes up and talk. Scattering seeds. Deb, come on up. Scattering seeds. Remember I said, what was the success rate the farmer had? 25. That doesn't sound really great, does it? Like, it's not, depending on what it is, like if you're a baseball batter, 250 is okay, right? It's okay, but it's not stellar, right? But you scatter anyway because you just don't know. One of the things we had scattered to try and see was our Friday night service. And the whole intent there was to create a place that was going to be different, that was for people who wouldn't maybe normally come to a Sunday service. And also we wanted it to be, we changed the atmosphere, the way it looked. We used some of the lamps and that, and just made it have a different feel to it. We flipped, instead of singing at the beginning, we did the teaching at the beginning, singing at the end. It was more of a time of lingering, of being able to have, there was a lot of open space to be able to just have that space. And our intent was, you know, or what we were hoping for was that we'd be able to amass a team that would help out with, you know, just doing some of the logistics to prepare for that. We scattered that seed, and it was like, and what happened was the team became like Chris and Liv and Zanes and Windsors, but then, you know, life happens even with people, and they can't always be there, and it became to the point where it's like, so what do we do with this? You know, do we keep going? And we had to decide. We've made the decision that we're going to just put this to bed for right now, the Friday night service, just because numbers weren't the greatest. And the amount of work that it took for Chris to do to pour into that was just like, you know what? We're going to pour our energies into the Sunday service, make it better, but we're going to continue with the mindset of we scatter. We're going to continue to scatter. We're going to look for ways, right? That's what we have to be. Is that a fail? Maybe you could say it was, but it was an attempt to try to see if something would work. We're going to continue to pray and ask God, what else would you like us to try? What else should we try? Right? Because that's the attitude we have to have. I said to Chris, I said, gosh, we need to have the attitude of inventors, because inventors, I've never invented anything, but inventors, they go through a lot of attempts at trying something that fails. And finally, they stumble on something that they works. Bravo, right? Well, you know, I said to Chris, I said, the Thomas Edison, what would it take him 700 times or something that he failed and then he finally discovered the light bulb? And when asked about that, he said, yeah, I discovered 700 ways that don't work. That's a great attitude. So, but that's the attitude we're taking. But we realize that what the thing here is to try. When the team went down to Brazil, did they know what was going to happen? No. Were they scattering seed? Literally. They were scattering, you know, their time and energy. They didn't know what was going to happen. When they started out with the bricks, right, it was like, all these bricks? This isn't even going to happen. Like, and it looked pretty sad when there was just one row. Right, and time's moving on. It's like, what's going on here? But we're doing this, we're going, this is what we're doing. And amazing things happened because they just scattered. You heard the story last week from Dave Sparks, right? Amazing things. Deb.
Well, for me.
Come on up here. Would you like this off here? Would that be
I don't know. For me, this is not my comfort zone. This is really not my comfort zone. I'm the person who goes on a mission trip, and I go quietly, and I come back, and I spread seeds there, and I'm really comfortable, and I love it. But I think it started when Jen and Phil finally went the last time. I said, we have to, as a church, go and support them. Like, this is it. And I kept saying, well, I've been to Brazil. I got the hedgy, it's not for me. So I went, and I would think about it, and then I'd hear that people would say, oh, there's a small group that's going to go. And I said, oh, that's great. But just a little over a year ago, I was in Uganda, and surprising, I have to go someplace like that to hear God. He just doesn't get through to me otherwise. I just don't let him, I don't think. But anyways, I got this. What are you doing here? You're supposed to be supporting Jen and Phil. Why aren't you going and supporting Jen and Phil? And it was so intense that I got up out of my room, out of my bed at about 11 o'clock at night and tried to find a Wi-Fi connection so that I could talk to Jen, because I think I felt that maybe God was saying, like, if you don't do something and say something positive, you know, and take a step, is not going to happen. And then I came back and I kept saying, oh, I don't even know what I'm doing. And so I didn't have anything. Like, I had absolutely nothing. I had this little mustard seed of faith saying, okay, God keeps pushing. And so I did go through the whole brick thing and, oh, why am I doing this? And it was really hard for me. But surprising, this nothing is about you. Surprising, it was about the people who came. And I believe that God called this team not just for the people in Brazil, but for the people on the team. I watched people with just a little bit of faith go out just like David and start to pray for people. And you'll hear Greg will tell you what happened. And Bruno was up there teaching, and you would never recognize the Bruno that was in Brazil. And I believe that was just from a little mustard seed of faith for somebody else. And they went and they spread the seed in Brazil.
So were you stretched?
Are you kidding? I don't ask for money. It is so hard. I don't fundraise. I don't ask for money. So that was the stretching part for me.
Very good. Would you say other people saw your potential?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
No idea? Did you discover new things about yourself?
Then I'm determined.
That's a good thing. That's huge. That's huge.
Well, it was just amazing to see what happened in Brazil with the people on the team. Like, I didn't have anything to give, but God put on that team people with skills, with abilities, with talents, and all kinds of stuff that like I couldn't have done myself, and I could never have pictured. I would never have thought of the people who went on the team who went. Like some of them I didn't even know. So it was just a God thing.
Was everybody stretched?
I think so.
Did you see potential in them?
Oh, lots, tons of potential in them. Yeah.
So that was that. So thanks so much. There's a prime example of just stretching of who you are, and you saw potential, right? Can't wait till we get Bruno up. That's going to be to see that potential. That's great. So let's pray. Now, what we're going to pray for is for God to come and intersect your week this week. I want you to look for him to move in your situations, in your life, in how you live your life. And let's look for that. And then we'll also open up for prayer ministry as well. So come, Holy Spirit. Come right now. I hear the Lord saying, as I did with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, so I can do with you. If you'll give yourself to me. Because that's what the act of faith was when they handed him that bag lunch, however big the fish were, however big the loaves were. He took it and he did amazing things. That bag lunch was the seed. Holy Spirit, we just say, come right now. Begin to germinate some of the seed that is sitting here right now in our everyday lives, Lord. Father, I bless every person here to be who they are as you merge with their life. As you merge with their life. Lord, open up eyes to see. Open up eyes to see right now. Lord, would you ignite a spark in each person just to stretch a little bit, just to stretch that zone in their life just a little bit? What would that look like? And so we say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Father, we just pray for the team right now that had gone down to Brazil. That, Father, that they were stretched. They knew, Lord, what they could stretch to. Father, give them courage here in their hometown to allow themselves to be stretched here. To be stretched here. If I could get the prayer ministry team up, and also those who are on the mission team, Brazil mission team, to come up as well. Here's the picture I see. Yeah, if you could come up. This is an opportunity for prayer. For healing is a big, big thing in the kingdom. When Jesus brought the kingdom, the healing that occurred. And it wasn't just in physical bodies. Healing occurred emotionally. Healing occurred when people were released of the demons that were oppressing them. People were healed when they came to become followers, when they were reborn as children of God. Huge healing took place. And don't we want to see, not just, you know, and it's not just, believe me, it's not just, but we hear of backs being healed or pain being, or, you know, necks being healed or, you know, things like that, right? I want to see broken bones healed. What's that? You've seen that. I want to see that, you know, I want to see that happen. Right? And while I understand our bodies die, I understand that. I want to see people healed of cancer. Right? Because I think time to time he needs to be served notice. That the power he thinks he has is very limited. We have a Jesus who can, we serve a Jesus who busted out of the grave, right? And we want to see that. We want to see that. And that takes stretching. Listen, every person in the Gospels who pushed their way to touch Jesus or to push their way, please heal me, or who pushed their way, did they stretch? Turn, right? They were stretching. And Jesus met them in that stretch. He met them. So, let's just see what the Lord is doing. Father, we just say, come right now, Holy Spirit. Pray for the ministry team, Father, that you would fill them right now. Lord, I pray for an increase in their faith, that you would bless them, that you would just fill. Just bless them and fill. Thank you for Bruno, Lord. Just bless him. Bless this guy. Thank you, Father. Bless Deb. And Lord, for Margaret Ellen, just bless her. Holy Spirit, come, Lord. Bless him. Father, just come. Just come right now, Holy Spirit. Just come. Hear the Lord saying to the ministry team, you stretch your faith. You stretch it. You stretch it. Don't wait for me to stretch it for you. You stretch it. And I'll meet you there. I'll meet you in the stretch. So, Father, just come. So we're just going to open up the front now for healing. If you want healing, seriously. And if you go, well, I've been up there like 30 times. Well, you haven't been up there 31. Okay. I want you to come up to the front. We're going to open it up now. So if you're looking for healing, come up to the front. Okay.